This evening, we're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We covered a little bit about the miracles Jesus performed in the last few services. John chapter 5 on Wednesday night and John chapter 9 this morning. Well, tonight I want to look at what Jesus gave his disciples, okay? Because again, he didn't just leave us out to dry. He didn't leave us to fail in our service for him. God has a plan for his disciples. Not only in his earthly ministry, but in our ministries today. And so I believe John 15 give us some help in that area. And read the first 8 verses of John chapter 15. The Bible says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Every business has a training process. From McDonald's to corporate offices, there is some sort of training plan or school they go through. Whether it's watching videos or working with someone for a little bit to figure out how things go in that environment, they are trained. And for the most part, nobody says, "Good luck and have fun. Hope you survive." I mean, that's bad business, am I right? Plus, that could mess up a lot of things. I know when I worked at UPS before David was born, we had 3 days in classes just watching videos on how to handle hazardous materials, how to stack boxes so that way they wouldn't fall over in the truck, and even how to bend your knees to lift the boxes. Yeah, they were pretty serious about it. But you know what? Why they did that? Why did they put us through that process? They wanted everyone trained correctly. They didn't want to be responsible for any injuries. It was a help to us, so we needed to pay attention. And our passage is at the end of a training process because Jesus is about to pass off the scene. Right, the Bible tells us in John 13:1, it says that his hour is about to come. In fact, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." And John 13 continues where Jesus washes his disciples' feet to be a servant. He wants to be an example for his those who followed him. In John 14, Jesus tells of the Comforter that would come. It was supposed to give the disciples confidence to stick to the truth, not to be afraid. Then in John 14:31, it says that that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment. Even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And right there, Jesus and his disciples get out of the upper room. And as they're getting up and as they're walking out into the nights in Jerusalem, I can picture Jesus using some visual aids for his lesson. In those days, Jerusalem had many vineyards. So as Jesus and his disciples walked to the Garden of Gethsemane, I can see Jesus pointing to one of the vines as he begins one of his final lessons of the training process for his disciples. In the few verses we read, I think we can see a few things that can help us as Jesus' disciples in today's world. After all, that's who we are, right? We're Christians and we're supposed to represent him. Well, first, Jesus uses a metaphor in verses 1 and 2. Let's look at it. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus right away establishes that he is the power source to being fruitful. And if the disciples wanted to continue to be fruitful in the service, they had to. They knew that Jesus had the power to do it. He said, he tells his disciples that he has the power they need to do God's work. And Jesus reminds his disciples that the one in control is God. And at any moment, God can take the branches away if he needs to remove them. He's in control. The husbandman, overseer. And so in verse 2, Jesus continues. He reminds them that God doesn't play games. Look what he says. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And Jesus warns his disciples that if God's children are not growing the way they should, that sooner or later, God will remove them. God will cut them off like a vine dresser in the Bible times would take away the unprofitable branches in his vineyard. You see, God does not need our permission to do his will. If we are not producing fruit like we should, if we are not being the disciples that God wants for us, God has no use for us. But on the flip side, Jesus gives the reason to live for him, and that's in the verse 2. It says that he purged it, or every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so here, Jesus gives the reason to live for him, the Great Commission. Jesus tells his disciples that God will purge prune a fruitful branch. This meant he will cut off those things that prevent growth so that it can grow even more. Because God is never satisfied with the growth of his children. He doesn't want us to settle no matter where we are, no matter how far we have come. God wants us to grow. And so Jesus continues on to give the disciples the hope they have to continue to be fruitful in their ministry. Because again, Jesus is leaving. And so he knows his hour has come. But he gives them a metaphor to realize that, hey, who is really in control? Jesus' Father, God himself. He's a husbandman, the overseer. And so he uses a metaphor. Well, verses 3 through 6, it gives us the message that Jesus proclaims. And Jesus says in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus tells his disciples that they are now clean. The word clean here means free from impure admixture, without blemish, spotless. Jesus is telling his disciples that they are prepared for service right now. And this is because of what Jesus has told them in the previous chapters, as I mentioned, as well as the previous 3.5 years. And then that's what the gospel is all about. Now, the disciples weren't perfect, excuse me, spiritually speaking. They weren't perfect humans, no. No one's perfect, but Jesus was. Yet the disciples are prepared to be fruitful branches for God because they are clean through Jesus and what he taught them. But Jesus reminds them that this is not just a one-time event. They must continue in his doctrine. In the words in which Jesus has just shared with them over the years of his ministry, that's what the disciples must continue in. And look at verse 4. Jesus refers back to the metaphor he uses, and it says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Jesus is illustrating the importance of remaining plugged into him. No matter what may come up, no matter how long they're in the alive and fulfilling the ministry God called them to, the only way to do something for God, to be profitable in their ministry, is by remaining plugged into Jesus Christ. He is the power source, and as he says, ye cannot do God's work without him. Jesus reveals to the disciples that they are the branches, and he is the vine, the power source. And he tells them that the fruitful branch, the fruitful disciple, will continue in his teachings. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The word abideth means to continue in a place. And in this case, of course, abideth means to continue in a relationship with God. And in a spiritual sense, what he's saying is that we must remain in the doctrine of Christ, in the words that God has given us through his that we have in our hands this evening. You see, stand where Jesus stood on his beliefs. Stay in his word. That's what Jesus is saying. And just in case they try to get a big head saying, oh, we can venture out and try our own thing, try to maybe do something profitable on our own. In verse 5, tells us that we are wrong if we're thinking that, because it says, for without me, you can do nothing. And that's what Jesus blatantly states the reality. Right, Jesus never sugarcoats anything in the Bible. He gets right to the point. And the disciples had no power without Christ, and neither do we. You see, they had nothing to stand on in their ministry without Christ. And Jesus continues to tell the disciples of the outcome of a disconnected branch. If we try to get away from what Jesus taught in his life, or if we get away from the Word of God, verse 6 gives us the result of what could happen. Because verse 6 gives us the result of an unfruitful branch. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus tells them that just like the branches that were not attached to the vine in the vineyards of that day, who were not providing the fruit that they were designed to provide, they were useless to the husbandman, the owner of the vineyard, the one who's in control. Well, the disciples who are not plugged into the true vine of Christ would be useless to God, the almighty husbandman. So the withered branches are thrown out for firewood, basically unprofitable for anything significant. Craig Blomberg, in his book on the life of Christ, says this about the passage. Verses 1 through 8 give only two alternatives: remaining, growing and bearing fruit, or number 2, not remaining at all. There's two extremes. Yeah, God wants us to realize the importance of our calling and God's plan for our lives. So we know that we have the metaphor with the vineyard, and we have the message that, hey, abide in me, continue the things of Christ. Well, verses 7 and 8, Jesus gives his disciples some motivation. Jesus gives the conditional promise to answer. Okay, look at this. If you abide in me, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus gives the promise to answer all things the disciples pray, as long as they continue in his teachings. Now it's not a genie in a bottle sort of speaking, but as long as the disciples wanted what God wanted in their lives, then God will bless them and give it to them. If it was for God's glory and it's to help God's work, God's going to give us the answer to our prayers. And the only condition that Jesus had from them, as they followed him, as they continued in the ministry that they have been called to, as the only way to serve God, it was according to Christ's teachings. And finally, in verse 8, Jesus gives his disciples the ultimate reason for abiding in his teachings. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You see, it's abiding or obeying or continuing in our relationship with Jesus Christ is simple. It simply glorifies the Father, glorifies God himself. And I think we all can agree this evening that this was Christ's mindset during his ministry, and it should have been the disciples' mindset as well, and it should be our mindset this evening as well in today's world. You see, the truth that Jesus was stressing in not only this passage but all throughout his earthly ministry is that without him, without Jesus Christ, his disciples could do nothing for God. He stressed the importance of continuing in the things that Christ had taught them. He stressed to abide in the teachings of Christ. To be fruitful, the disciples must rely on the power of Christ. So how were the disciples supposed to be successful? How could they produce more disciples when Jesus left them? Because again, his hour has come. He's about to leave them. Well, The disciples were going to make more disciples by abiding in a personal relationship with Christ. The disciples must continue in the ways of Christ in order to have a fruitful, successful ministry in the eyes of God. After all, God was pleased with what Jesus did. So it only makes sense that if Jesus was able to please his Father, we as God's children should follow Jesus' examples to please our Father in heaven. We have the same Father. Granted, obviously, Jesus is Jesus and we're, adopted. Hey, it says in Galatians, okay? I'm not trying to, put anyone down. But no, we are, okay? We are God's children still, amen? You see, disciples must continue there, and we must too. And I believe the same, again, we all can say that as 21st century Christians. For us as disciples of Christ, as New Testament believers, as called servants of God, whatever you want to say, we will only be successful in our ministry for Christ by continuing in a personal relationship with Christ. And I believe that we all want to be used by God. And that's no doubt. And that's why you came to church tonight. That's why you have been faithful over the years. I know I want to be used. And we are going, and as we go through this year, we're going to have some transitions. We're going to have some training process. You get to know me, and I get to know you as we get things started and we see what God wants to do here at Victory Baptist Church. And we all have different thoughts and ideas. And that's great because God created us different. But the only way we can make a difference for his name, the only way we can make a difference that will stand in our ministry for God, for God's ministry here at Victory Baptist Church, the only way is by sticking to the power source, by remaining plugged into Christ. Again, just like his disciples could do nothing without Jesus Christ, without being plugged in, we can do nothing without staying plugged in. May I remind you where you're at this evening? We are all here at Victory for Baptist Church for a reason. God has a purpose for bringing us together. No, we may not see it tonight. We may not even see it in the next few months. However, for such a time as this, God has called us all here. If the most important purpose is God wants us to grow in our personal devotion and walk with Jesus Christ. Now, I realize this truth is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. But can I share with you what the greatest missionary, I believe, who has ever lived, said about his devotion? This, of course, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. And he writes about his devotion to Christ in 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Bible says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You see, Paul knew that without disciplining his body, without staying connected to Jesus Christ, without trying his best to stay faithful, that he would become useless for God. He would become a castaway. And Paul knew the importance of focusing on what God has in store. So I think it would behoove us to take heed and to apply some of Paul's way of thinking into our own lives. You see, this evening we have the right doctrine to believe. We have the right mindset of the ministry that has been given to us tonight. But what we believe and what we have been taught is not just man-made. No, rather the truths from God's word, they have came from his word. We didn't create it. God himself did. And we are equipped with Bible knowledge, the tools that we need to be successful. Yes, this church has been an instrument in Marysville, and I'm thankful for that. In fact, Miss Iris, at the activities director at Cambridge Place, I was able to swing by on Friday. I tried to go see Brother Wayne, but I wasn't going to interrupt something, so I left a message for him. But then I went by to talk with her, kind of introduce myself, and she made it clear that Victory Baptist Church has a presence there, and I'm thankful for that. That's a compliment to your heart and your effort for the Lord. Yet God wants that same testimony to be spread across the whole community. That's what God has called us to do. However, the most important ingredient in our recipe for a successful ministry is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, we can't go where God wants us to go without Jesus. I mean, after all, he, Jesus, is the head of the church. So I think it only makes sense that we try to stay faithful to what he, Jesus, has established in his word. We do not need new methods or manuals to reach people for Christ. All we need to do to fulfill the Great Commission, to make more disciples, to be successful in our ministry, all we need is found in our relationship with Christ. Remember, there is still a need for the gospel in this world. The only way they will hear it is if we go to them. But we can't go to them if we are not willing to be used and to be prepared spiritually for the battle we are fighting. Not just physical battle, but a spiritual battle. A spiritual warfare. You know, we're going to do some things this year. We're going to face some trials, and you know, our efforts are going to have some opposition. We know that. But thankfully, God will take care of us if we are willing to stay faithful. We're willing to stay plugged in. And we are reminded almost daily of the importance of developing and keeping a walk with Christ. We are the ones who are responsible to keep the flag of our faith waving in the storm of a lost and dying world. And the only way we can do that is by, again, continuing in our relationship with Christ. It is simple. We have the examples in the Bible with men and women who lived a life of faith for the name of Christ. You see, nobody can do it alone. And thankfully, God doesn't expect us to do it alone. Again, he called us together for a purpose. And we have men and women of history who have given their lives to be used for Christ. We have men and women we encounter probably every day who have been and are being used by God in a great and mighty way for the cause of Christ. Just look at the missionaries we support. But the one thing these heroes of our faith that have spanned centuries, there's one thing they've had in common is that they have all individually decided to have an intimate, personal, day-to-day, devoted walk with God. See, it wasn't by accident. They had to make a choice. And with that said, may I challenge you with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We have the truth. We have the examples. We have a chance to do something great for God, and it can start here at Victory Baptist Church. But we must choose to let it start. Remember, we are going to be held accountable for what we do with what we have. Why? Because we sat under it. We know what the truth is. We know what God wants us to do. We have Jesus' doctrine. So, may I ask you this evening, how are you doing spiritually? What are you doing with your personal walk with Christ? We just need to look to Christ to stay plugged into him. Because after all, Jesus has all the power we need. Just like he tells his disciples in John 15, verse 5. "Without me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus in our lives tonight, we can do nothing profitable for God. Yes, we can make an impact in our own strength to spread our name. But there's many other people trying to do that. There's many other people in the world trying to spread their own name, their own ways of life, and their own quote-unquote wisdom. But God help us to be a church to stay plugged into Jesus Christ. Because again, Jesus has all the power we need. It's up to us to stay plugged in. So, can I ask you again this evening, Christian, how are you abiding in Jesus Christ? How is your personal walk with God? I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to encourage you as your pastor. We can't get to where God wants us to go without a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. So God help us to be a church that's plugged in to the true power source, the true vine, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.